God does a weird thing in us, because we spend a lifetime stopping our minds at a convenient point. And we stop that process in our minds at the point that meets our demand for our own identity. In other words, some of you are so sick that you stop your mind in terms of its projecting at the point where you know you'll feel bad, or you know you'll be in trouble, or you know you will fail, because that's what gives you identity. Some of you project farther on. And the analogous point is in sexual fantasy, where you fantasize to the point where someone is being a sadist to your masochism. You understand? Mm-hmm. Some of you project to a point of imagined success. You know, okay, man, I can see myself in this position if only, and that's what all this modern garbage about imagery is. You know, if you can see it, it's you're going to make it. Well, for athletes, you know, like Gary Buckner, that's all he ever learned to do. He had to learn to project his mind to the point where he could see himself successfully accomplishing whatever gymnastic feat there was to do. Well, that became his lifestyle. He only saw himself in everything projected to the point of success. You understand?
Isn't that called creative visualization also?
Well, I'm sure some idiot calls it that. But, I mean, some, all kinds of people call, not you, but I mean some.
Yeah, like this idiot.
But the same thing, like, Alexis is a ballet dancer, and so to do those maneuvers, she had to make her body do stuff that it was never intended to do. And then you have to visualize it at the point of being successful, and then you forget about it. But you only take it to the point of success. When a ballet dancer is visualizing that imagery for successful movement, they never visualize successful movement at that point when they're 83 years old. You understand? I mean, they only visualize at the perfection. Okay, so that causes a mind. I mean, your mind is simply a computer that has neurons and paths for neurons that do stuff. And it comes to a point and you cause it to come to an end, and therefore you see yourself at that end. Now, that's what's so dangerous about marijuana and pot and the other hashish especially. And pot is because it causes your mind to do things. It causes your mind to go into an empty space where there is an arena of euphoria or relaxation or rest or whatever it is. But your mind gets so used to doing that, the more and more you intake, that your mind goes there with no pot every time you're confronted with a stimulus that is not pleasing to your hunk of protoplasm. You understand me? That's why, that's the only thing from a spiritual standpoint that's wrong in pot. It's just, it robs you. Now, other drugs do different things, but the point of it is, all of you are drug addicts, because all that you are doing when you take these mind trips and do the mind talk, your body releases an appropriate drug to cause you to be able to get there. Your body, your mind or your body only has receptors for the drugs that are drugs. In other words, you know, it doesn't do you any good to smoke maple leaves because there are no receptors. It does do you good to smoke hashish or marijuana because there are receptors for that. If there's a receptor there, that means your body produces it automatically. So all you're doing is robbing the experience so that you can't possibly see the end. Am I communicating? Now,
it's not just drugs, it's like
it's everything.
Everything that we do to distract our
right.
What's happening right now.
Yeah, at anything, any point that you take beyond now, always giving to the now, all the imagery, all the projection, all the thought, all them are simply drug trips. You understand that?
It's wild.
I mean, I mean,
forward or backward?
Forward or backward, doesn't matter. I mean, it'd be wild for Zig Ziglar to think that he's, you know, he's a great Christian motivator, but all he's doing is creating a culture of Christian drug addicts. But their addiction is that which is naturally produced in the body instead of something which is taken external. Both of them are stupid because they rob you, they rob God, they rob the body. You're intended to live now. That's the way you're designed. But in the design process, God made it so perfect that the projections of being elsewhere were there so that you would know that no other thing is good except to live now. So you had to fail at all those good things. You understand me? Mm-hmm. But you have to fail mentally. You have to suffer the loss of all things, including the propensity to project yourself in an idealized situation. And the only reason that you still project yourself into an idealized situation is that you're still a drug addict. And the only reason you're still a drug addict is that you don't have the courage to project yourself into the end of it. You stop at the fantasy point that's idealized because of your own unique Molech. Do you understand me a little bit? Mm-hmm. You know, now the Supreme Court nominee Ginsburg, I mean...
So is everybody else in that's running for the Democratic nomination, too.
Well, especially the Democrats.
Well, that makes sense.
But anyway...
Party like a Democrat.
And party, both Republican and party Democrat. That was always
the baby. It's better to get drunk every night than to smoke pot.
No, it didn't.
From their point of view.
I know. But, I mean, you can end up laughing at that hypocrisy, right? All of you giggle and tee-hee when all those stupid guys in the Senate, they're worried about Ginsburg and taking drugs once or twice or something when he was in law school. Or
law professor.
But you're doing the same thing every single time you project yourself out of now. Your body is becoming a drug addict. Please understand. And you think it's so natural. It's so... But the motivator for projecting yourself out of now, the only motivator for projecting yourself out of now, this instant, at the root, at the deepest, the taproot of your being, is shame. Because you think you're separate. So you have to prove yourself either in your mind or by your own activities worthy. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I don't give a damn if you know anything about the Lord or not. The way you're joined to the Lord is only when you're not joined to anything else. You may not know it. You may not know it. You may not realize it. You have no understanding of it. You know, if I asked every one of you to articulate your theology about God, you'd come up with a blank. Or come up with some New Age bullshit. Or come up with some religious cliches. Why? So that you can't make an image of him. Because if you could make an image of him, then there could be no faith. That's why faith, and the only thing that pleases God, the only thing that brings you that degree of excitement and life, is when you go without knowing. That's the reason that Alexis felt that excitement when she left. That's faith, to go without knowing. Going without knowing isn't physically taking a trip necessarily. It is going in your mind without having projected the pathway that you're going to reach, I mean that you're going to take to get there. If you're projecting a pathway, by definition, you're a drug addict. It's important. And the only reason you take that action down at the taproot of your being is because you're solely and totally and completely motivated by shame. If you had no shame, abandonment would be instantaneous and wonderful. Because the God that created the universe, the being that created the universe, the force, if you will, I don't care how you articulate it, I don't care what you believe about it, I don't care whether you understand it, but the force that created, the God that created the universe is your life. What can you possibly fear? How can you possibly any longer be satisfied to live in shame? You know, what the hell are we doing?
I have no idea.
Somebody asked me that question the other night. It's just a test.
What is that?
It is
like
a zero.
But it's got to be.
You know, that's the thing. My students, you know, I mean, eventually I say something that is off the wall, and they'll ask a few questions and find out, you know, where the hell I'm coming from. And every time I try to explain something, I try it a different way, and I can never answer the questions they ask me because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer, so. Well, are you Christian? Well, kind of, but not exactly like you're thinking. Well, are you Jewish? Well, kind of, but not exactly
like you think.
Well, do you have a church? No.
Sort of.
Do you read the Bible? Well, yeah.
And the Zohar.
And the
Talmud.
And the stars, don't forget.
And the pyramid.
What are we doing?
Let me show you.
Do we need to open it up?
No, just listen. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God and sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Now, the book of Revelation calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Jewish nation calls it Israel. Some people call it Nirvana, some people call it heaven, some people call it, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's what is your deepest and most profound desire. That's what we're about. That your deepest and most profound desire would be fulfilled. Anything else is religion and bullshit. Now, there's a sense in order for that deepest and most profound desire to be fulfilled. And that is, obviously, if that's fulfilled, the end result of that is joy. And so joy, in a sense, is where we're going and what we're doing. But
there's a feeling that there's a journey to get there. Now, what is that journey? John, in the epistle, the first John, he said there were four things, four places, four milestones on that journey that you would recognize. He said, I write unto you little children because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you adolescents because you know the Father. I write unto you young men because you know you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you've overcome the evil one. I write unto you fathers because you have been with him that is from the very beginning. Now what the hell, that sounds, again, that's real religious. Well, then there's another metaphor to show what it is. It's the world, the wilderness, the promised land, but then the place, or the end result of the promise is Jerusalem. Again, the four places, the four positions. Well, that doesn't really make any sense either. What is it that we're about? And what does shame have to do with what we're about?
I don't know, but I sort of feel like a salmon.
Yeah.
A salmon?
That's true.
All of you were born in the world through some mechanism. And the scripture is always called Egypt, the world. But there was a part of you when you were small that surfaces itself all the time and comes to the surface many, many times, that you always knew you didn't belong here. Or maybe that was just me that felt that way. Huh?
No.
Aliens.
You always knew deep down in your gut that you didn't belong here. Because in truth, none of you were born in the world. All of you were born in the promise. But just as Christ, when he was a teeny little baby, his parents made him flee to Egypt so he wouldn't be killed, so you had to flee internally into the world so you wouldn't be destroyed. You understand? So then while you're in the world, you've done everything in your power to find the best of the world. I mean, some of you have taken strange paths, but by your understanding, you have always shot for that which you considered the best. That was either within your capacity to do, or met some weird psychological need, or met some weird environmental or Moloch need. You've always shot for what was the best. You understand? And that is always typified, see, the land of Goshen. In Egypt, the land of Goshen is the best. Now, all of you arrived in the land of Goshen. Again, by your definition of it. You understand me? But you got to the land of Goshen, and there was this weird thing that started happening to you. There started to be plagues. There was boils and sores and lice and flies and 97-pound hailstones and blood, everything, and we would go, you know. But the point is, all these things that you had no control over started to happen. And all of a sudden, you didn't feel welcome in this world any longer. Now, for some of you, the process of wanting to get out and not feeling welcome was a long, long time. For some of you, it was very short. But you got to understand me, that the things that took place in you and around you, which caused you not to feel welcome in the world, weren't done or affected by your hand. Now, some of you still think that they were, that you could have done it better. Well, that's okay for now. But then the worst part was, you then had to do this weird thing in the spirit, is that you had to start making bricks without straw. To make bricks without straw simply means that whatever you set your hands to do never quite came out right. Does that communicate a little bit? Or is this only just happened to me? Huh? Okay, but whatever you happen to do, it didn't quite come out right. Well, and you said, oh shit. I gotta take a course.
Then I'll be okay.
I gotta get educated. I need more education. I need something. So you did all this. And then what happened? Well, then these stupid bricks crumbled quicker than they ever did before.
I remember getting into management, thinking that was the way. I'll get into management, and then I thought, shit, they're out of control. There's no one minding the store. It's crazy. Yeah,
but my point to you is, it doesn't matter whether you did it from went positive or negative. It doesn't matter whether, you remember the shame is, pride and shame are the same coin. Just the flip side of the same coin. It doesn't matter whether you went the direction of self-destruction or the direction of achievement. Either way, you couldn't even destroy yourself. So even that brick fell apart. You got it?
Put the bullet in my mouth and missed.
Now, some of you have tried some really weird ways of the negative way. I mean, you know, weird. But my point is, none of it worked, right? If the bricks all fell apart. And then what happened? Then that sense came back to you from when you were that little teeny kid. I don't belong in this world. So then you're still running around here in the world. I write unto you little children. And by definition, when you're in the world as the little child, the secret there is, the way you know you're in the world, is that you still have some options. That's the definition of being in the world. It's the place where you still have some options. You're a little kid in the spirit. You're a teeny-tiny little baby in the spirit, but your mind still thinks you have some options. And that's where the whole friggin' church world is. They're in the world trying to make the world better, and they're hiding under the blood of the Passover, but they're still little kids in the world. Now, some of you are still there. And that's all right. Don't worry about it. You're a little kid in the world, and you still sort of secretly think you have some options. I write unto you little children. Why in the hell is he paying any attention to you? I write to you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. Your shame is forgotten. That's true. That's true. That's big time true. Now, you take the next step. I'm getting out of here. And so you get out of here and you take this course, you follow the little red line. It's like the little, instead of a bouncing ball, it's a little red line. This is you. So you get, you may not have been physically baptized yet, but you've been spiritually baptized. you got out of the world and you went through the Dead Sea, and now you really fucked up. For a while here, when you were in the world and you were a little child and you said, hey, praise God. But then then all of a sudden what happens? In the wilderness. In the wilderness, there's no options. That's the definition of the wilderness. In the natural, that's the definition of adolescence. I brought unto you adolescence. Because you don't know a damn thing. All you know is you don't have any options. Now, for some of you, it takes a jillion years to go from that little child position to the adolescent position. To the place where you have no options. And then when you have no options, everything is just, oh shit. But there's this wild thing that's happening there. I write unto you adolescence because you know the Father. Well, I don't know any Father. All I know is I'm screwed up. Bible study doesn't help anything. Group shit doesn't help. What the hell's a group anyway? Group doesn't help. Prayer doesn't help. Nothing helps. But there is a mystery that has taken place in you. I write unto you adolescence because you know the Father. And I was talking to Buck about this. What happened to me at this point was I didn't... What the hell does that mean? I don't know the Father. Somebody had to just tell me to talk about God or the Father. He would have been some amorphous mass that was out there doing stuff somehow, but I didn't know anything about him. But what it was is that it was an anchor within me. And the evidence that the anchor existed was that there were no options. It doesn't matter whether I cared there were options. It doesn't matter whether I understood it. There was a thing going on, that there was an anchor. And the fact that I had no options meant that I know the Father. Can I communicate in a little bit? Mm-hmm. Now this is in every arena of your life. You're still a little kid. I mean, an adolescent. You're still got all kinds of shit going on that's beyond your control. There's all kinds of things taking place. There's fears, there's doubts, there's weirdness, there's shame, there's guilt, there's fear. But the only external evidence of the situation is that you have no options. By definition, the place of no options is the wilderness. You ever been in a wilderness? There are absolutely no options in the desert.
You have to play by its rules.
You play by its rules, and you're either going to live or you're going to die. There are no other options. You don't care a great deal about career objectives. You don't care a great deal about appearance. You don't care a great deal about anything else except what? Survival. And you wander around the wilderness until you're no longer motivated by shame, until you're no longer motivated by guilt, until you're no longer motivated by fear, until you're no longer motivated by anything except faith. Now, how long does it take to go from the wilderness? How long does it take to get out of the wilderness? That long. From now on in your life, time is no longer a function. Obedience is the only function. And obedience doesn't mean you go do this. Obedience means that no matter what situation you find yourself in, that you know God is in control. That's what obedience is. That's hearing the Word of God under any circumstance that you find yourself in. It doesn't matter whether it's fear, doubt, shame, impotence, weirdness, wildness. It's all God. Panic. You understand me? You know it's God. Now that's the problem with where we are now. There are arenas of your life where you don't believe that God exists. And that arena is defined as your shame. You feel the land, your land has been forsaken by God. That's the lie. You understand? That's why we publicly confess. All of a sudden it comes, oh my God, God is this. God is in it. Now, where we go from here. Don't be rebellious. If you're rebellious, instead of following this path, see, the definition of rebellion is this little loop in the map. You understand? Okay. The process should only take in the Spirit from the time of Passover to the time of Feast of Tabernacles. That's all. Because Passover is celebrated in Egypt, Tabernacles is celebrated in Jerusalem. The marriage supper, the wedding supper. But what the hell happens? That's this path. Now God could have taken us this path and it'd be a whole lot quicker and but we'd have gotten what? Why didn't we go that path? Because we wouldn't have been tested.
Right. You knew an answer.
So now we're going this path, and we're on a sure path, and the end of that path is your heart's desire. The end of that path is pure and total joy. The end of that path is unfeigned love. Forget all the religious garbage. That's what we're about. We're about going from heartache to love. About going from panic to joy. Now, here we have options. We don't like the shit, but we still have options. Here in the wilderness, we have no options. Until we get to this Eisen Geber. Zion Geber. Okay, then we can take a path. We can cop out. And we can, the reason we cop out is that we are satisfied in our sloth. Israel spent 39 years in Kadesh Barnea. It was a sanctuary in the wilderness because at any given point they could have taken out. They were protected in the sanctuary. But you do not want to go that way. Now some of you are already there. Huh, Pete? Okay, we just need to go. Now, I write unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. That means whatever you want it to mean. It means that you never again have to take yourself seriously. It means you never again have to think about yourself. It means you don't have to regret any action ever. It means the slate is clean. It means whatever, however cliches you want to put on it. It means you never again have to worry about anything. I write unto you, little children, because your sin is forgiven. But now some tests are going to come in the wilderness. So he says, I write unto you, adolescents, because you know the Father, not because you're fucked up. Now, do you see what we're doing here? There hasn't been any mention of your problems being solved.
There's only been a mention of your mind being renewed. Remember the analogy? If you're in the desert, two men in the desert, one in guilt and the other in love. The one in guilt will only see the impossibility of survival. He will believe he will die. The one in love will see nothing but the beauty of the desert. Now, so now we can cross this point. We enter the promise. In the promise, here we had options, here we have no options and doubt and weirdness. In the promise we have, what happens in the promise? Still got all kinds of shit, all kinds of problems, but you never have doubt. There's no doubt in the promise. That's a biggie. I write unto you, young men, because the word abideth in you, and you are strong, and you have overcome the evil one. Continually. And then finally, wham, we enter Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place of peace, the place of, it's at that point when you enter Jerusalem, you become in the spirit of Father. But in Jerusalem, it is impossible for anything ever again to be against you. That's the meaning of the word. And at that point, there's total joy. Because you have been tested completely. And God has said to the world, the devil and the flesh, and your mind, take your best shot. And they all have. And now the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. You have dominion over everything except yourself. And you have freedom beyond freedom. That's what we're about. Forgetting all religious garbage. That's why we're alive. Now, okay, well, I can do all that. I'm just going to go out here and do it alone. Guess what? I tried that. Guess what?
It didn't work.
You have to stay in the wilderness as long as you're alone. That's the way he's designed us. In fact, you're in the wilderness at this place called Mara. That's as far as you can go alone. It's called bitter. That's why a lot of people have left the world. A lot of people know and can, you know, all the cynics in the world can relate to that part of it. But they've left alone and their end place is Mara instead of Jerusalem. And the word Mara is bitter, cynic, empty, bitter, water. There's a lot of people like that. There's jillions of people like Mara, and that's as far as they'll ever go without a body. Because God wants a body, not any Lone Rangers. Capisce? So, the way you, one of the ways you get from being an adolescent, but again, this stuff, you can go from the child to the Jerusalem in that fast by hearing under. It's not a function of time any longer because he completed the way. That's what it means when it says, I am the way. He's not going to show you the way. He is the way. And that way is reflected in your abandonment of self. And the things that are enemies of that abandonment of self are what are dealt with in the wilderness. Now, it's bizarre. There's no role models. I don't know what the hell's going to happen next. I am no reasonably intelligent person's role model, that's for damn sure.
I'm some real dummies role model. No names mentioned, but one of the things that we're dealing with now here, we want to get out of this friggin' wilderness. And one of the things that's keeping you in that wilderness is shame. Because shame keeps you from abandoning self. Amen? Everybody understand a little better? What?
Yes, thumbs up.
Oh.
Yes.
That's good.
That's good. Amen.
Good. Bad.
Please.
So we'll call this the Wilderness Weekend.
Well, let's call it the Freedom Weekend.
Freedom. An idle weekend.
I don't want to. Sounds too bushy.
Not F-E-T-A-L.
What?
Has a feel.
So, I know you all love lists, but I don't know any way to do this. Start writing the things that you're ashamed of. Get deeper than you've ever dreamed of getting. Okay? What?
She's doing okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to pay any attention to her. Take it, big guy.